This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
What is up, Wisconsin and beyond? My name's Maggie Dawn. I'm host of The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we do real news and great conversation every day. Folks, today I've got one of the Maggie Dawn Show team in the booth with me because Cardi need a little time off. I got Calvin with me today. Thanks so much, Cal, for stepping in. So if you want to join our conversation today via text or phone, be sure you say hello to the fabulous Calvin at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. It has been a busy 24-hour news cycle. We have the appointment of real-world MTV star Sean Duffy as Secretary of Transportation. We've got the nomination of Howard Lutnick, extraordinarily wealthy man leading up the Commerce Department. We've got the Gableman charges. Remember that guy, Judge Justice Michael Gableman, former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Mike Gableman, tapped by then Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly, Robin Voss, to lead the completely bogus investigation into the conspiracy claims with no evidence in the state of Wisconsin blowing through, I don't know, a mil plus of taxpayer money while Gableman lied, violated our state's sunshine open records laws, you know, all that good stuff. Well, the Office of Lawyer Regulation here in the state of Wisconsin has filed charges against former Justice Michael Gableman. I've got just the person that you need to hear from about why this matters to you and for our state. Jeff Mandel, General Counsel of Law Forward, will join us at 3 p.m. to discuss that, as well as the Supreme Court oral arguments yesterday, hearing the case brought seeking to remove the executive director from the nonpartisan Wisconsin Election Commission. Her name's Megan Wolf. This goes back quite a ways. So we're going to have Jeff Mandel to break all that down. And within the last couple of hours, somebody is hacked and has their hot little hands on the Gates Ethics Report, which seems to be the subject of all the punditry lately. It has not yet been leaked, but the hack has been widely reported, first broken by the New York Times. We're going to talk about all of this and so very much more. And you can always watch me and whomever is the fabulous producer in the booth with me on YouTube. Go check out the Civic Media channel on the U of the Tube. You can see all my crazy facial expressions. This is why I don't play poker, folks. No good at it. My face is telling you exactly what I think and feel about things. And again, of course, we want to have a real conversation and great news exchange with you. So join us, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Here's where I want to start. It's been something that has been the top of my mind since the election. And that is this. The New York Times yesterday ran a headline that said, "Have Democrats lost the working class voter?" That's what I want to ask you. Have Democrats lost the working class voter? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And what does that mean to you? Like, who is the working class voter? Do you consider yourself the working class voter? I certainly consider myself to be a working class voter. In fact, I consider basically anybody that's not making a million plus a year with at least 5 to 10 mil in the bank a working class voter, because it means that you're going to have to keep working to the point in time where if you're fortunate enough, you can retire. But you are working, you're working for a living, you're working 9 to 5 or 8 to 6 or even 7 to 7 or more. At least one job, if not more, you rely on a paycheck. You pay taxes on that paycheck. Have the Democrats lost working class voters? Here's my question. And listen, I've been getting lots of texts from conservatives post-election. And a lot of them focus on this. Hey, where were you, Maggie, before the election, talking about things like money in politics and the corruption that's been legalized over the last 50 years, starting with Buckley v. Vallejo, a Supreme Court decision in 1976 that basically concluded that we cannot regulate money in politics, all the way up through Citizens United in 2010. Hey, Maggie, where have you been? Where was your outrage at the tax code, at the failure to raise the minimum wage, the failure for this economic system to work for the middle class? My answer to that consistently has been, where have you been? I've been talking about this stuff all the time, to the chagrin of many, almost on a daily basis, whether it was in the Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money segment, but more generally as an economist. And as a lawyer and as someone who considers herself working class, whose parents were working class, are working class, I have been concerned about this. In fact, back in the early 2000s, I came up with a name for this failure. I called it the mythology of meritocracy, this idea that sort of undergirded this prosperity theology that started to take root in the Christian evangelical movement way back into the late 70s, early 80s. What do I mean by all of this? I mean to say that the middle class is told, work hard, do well, mean well, and you will do better than your parents, right? But I think increasingly people are feeling like that is simply not true. And when we look at the fundamental statistics that would show us if that is indeed true, nearly every single one of those statistics or data points, and I don't care who's measuring it, you can go to the most conservative think tanks you want, like the American Enterprise Institute or the Heritage Foundation. Whatever statistic you want to look at from whatever organization you want to look at, by virtually every metric, what all of that shows us is that our country is not meritocratic. That it is not a formula for success and doing better than your parents by showing up, meaning well, and working hard and doing your best. That is no longer any guarantee that you will be economically stable. This, to me, is the number one reason that Donald Trump became attractive to many voters. They intuitively and very experientially every day thought, wait a minute, I feel like I'm getting screwed. And that sensibility, that sense, that intuition that we all have and that I think all of us share to a certain degree is absolutely 100% correct. So here's what I want to talk about is I've heard, again, a lot of the commentary seems to indicate Democrats have been elitist. They talk down to people. I think that there is some truth in that. But the elitism doesn't negate the point that Democrats have attempted to pursue policies that, when stacked up against Republican policies over the last 50 years, have overwhelmingly been to the benefit of working people. We can say very clearly, Democrats have perhaps stunk at messaging, haven't spoken in clear enough populist terms, have not identified without talking down to working people. We can say all of that, but the weight of the policies over the last 50 years is frankly undeniable. We can also criticize Democrats very genuinely and say this: Democratic policies didn't go far enough to protect working people. That when Bill Clinton advocated for NAFTA, when free trade was all the rage, that the Democrats that were there saying, hey, if you engage in these trade agreements, it is, of course, going to be the result that people will lose jobs, that bottoms will fall out of certain manufacturing jobs that used to be family supporting, that they will leave the United States. All of that was knowable and known. And yet both Democrats and conservatives failed to do the things that every economist worth their weight would tell you. And that is job reskilling, upskilling, retraining, supported relocation programs if people, again, lose their good family-supported manufacturing jobs. Democrats failed to do that, but so did Republicans. So when we take, again, the 50 years of policy in this country from Democrats and Republicans, we can point to failure after failure on the Democratic side. Didn't go far enough, didn't consider this, spoke down to people, bad messaging. Again, failed to advocate for a fair tax code or a fairer tax code. But the reality is this: when summed up in totality, there is simply no debating the fact that Republicans, not Democrats, have done more to undermine the middle class over the last 50 years by leaps and bounds. So, why are Democrats losing the working person's vote? Let us discuss, because here again in Civic Media, we believe about great conversation, and we need you to have that conversation. If you are a new caller, please let Calvin know. I want you to go to the front of the line, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Keith in Broadhead. Keith, what are your thoughts? Have Democrats forever lost the working person's vote?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I can, go ahead.
Okay, I don't know if it's forever, but I will say that the loss started back when Republican Party started to villainize unions, in my opinion. And once we started losing the union support by the working class, and, you know, to be fair, there were some unions that were not working in the best interest of the employees. Typical of anything in this country, we tend to find people who get to the top of an organization like that and then take it.
Hey, Keith, I'm going to jump in here. Please, please stay on the line. Calvin is going to talk to you while we take care of a couple of quick messages. We're going to come back with Keith and your thoughts about this very important topic. Have Democrats lost the working person's vote? And if they have, what do we do to get it back? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. May the last one burn into flame.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back, or welcome. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we give you real news and great conversation every day. Be part of this conversation. Question of the hour is, have the Democrats lost the working person's vote? And if so, for how long? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. My argument has been, there is much to criticize from Democrats, but when you stack up the policies that have actually been implemented over the last 50 years, there's simply no comparing the set of policies between Dems and Republicans. Democrats have achieved policy accomplishments that benefit, on balance, working people more than it does the billionaire class. Republicans have done exactly the opposite. Now, before we went to break, we had a caller, Keith, from Broadhead. I had to let Keith go because we're on a clock here. But what Keith was raising was the Republican attacks on unionized or organized labor. dating back to the 50s. Now, I have an interesting statistic exactly on this point. So this compares the share of the share of income going to the top 10% of income earners over time to union membership over time. And would it surprise any one of you that since the 1950s, the share of income going to the top 10% of income earners has simply skyrocketed? It's higher now than it was when the Gilded Age was occurring. In other words, the richest of the rich have been taking home more of the income that this country produces than the other 90%, upwards approaching 50% of the income produced in this country goes now to the top 10%. And over that same period of time since the 1950s, union membership has what? Cratered, absolutely bottomed out. Again, bottoming out now somewhere just around 10%. Now, there's some variation there. I don't think that those things are uncorrelated. There was a very concerted plan of attack dating back to the Nixon era, but really turbocharged under President Ronald Reagan, where there was an effort, very consistent, intentional, deliberate effort under every Republican administration to weaken the protections for workers that wanted to organize, to gut the National Labor Relations Board, and to basically bust up unions or simply fail in every way, shape, and form to enforce labor regulations that protect a worker's right to organize. Now, let's not forget the so-called First Amendment champions that you see now on the right. Well, the right to organize, to affiliate, to join a union is one of those fundamentally protected First Amendment rights. And in fact, it is enshrined in the First Amendment right alongside the right to free speech. Remember, the right of free speech and assembly. That means unions. Our government's failure to protect those rights, to ensure that workers stand on a bargaining footing that at least approaches that of the CEO class, the C-suite, and boards of directors, I think can be an explanatory variable for a lot of the income inequality that we see today. Join our conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Andrew from Detroit, you say what, sir?
Hi, Maggie. I've been listening. I'm a lifelong Democrat, and I've been listening forever and ever and ever. It's about messaging. It's about messaging. And I think all of the caucuses, the Democratic caucuses in the House, they need to be speaking to who is the Democratic national leader. Mm-hmm. We've got to get messaging right. We do have the best economy in the world. We have lower inflation than the rest of the world. But I don't think the voters understand the difference between economy and your wallet. And I don't know what that's called either, but there is a difference. The economy is great, but your wallet sucks.
Andrew, I think that's extraordinarily well summarized. And I think one of the disconnects there, right, is that the wealth, the power of the U.S. economy no longer is benefiting working people. The power, the wealth, the growth in the U.S. economy, yep, that's going to the top 1%, the Elon Musks, the Howard Lutnicks, the Jeff Bezoses, the Warren Buffetts of this world. It is the trickle-up economy where our working productivity does not come back in increased wages and benefits for the working people. All of that wealth that we're creating, it's coming right out of our pocket, right up to the wealthiest among us. Thanks for your call, Andrew, and thanks for listening for so very long. Dick from Madison, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you say, Dick?
You said something about not paying attention at the beginning of this, and by that, I would agree, and you know who's not. The real hardcore mega base. All they listen to is their bubble Fox and other outlets similar. And here's what happens when you do that. I look at the paper today, and how does this correlate? These people that vote for him thinking he's the guy for the average guy, It's a huge article on what all these people you just mentioned want now in return. There's nothing being talked about.
Dick, hang on. Don't drop off. Here was what I was about to raise, and this is a perfect setup for the next phase of this discussion, is that yesterday in this New York Times headline that said, "Have Democrats lost the white working class voter?" The New York Times also ran this article. Here's the headline. Trump boosters expect big returns on their investment. The shackles are off. That, Dick, is precisely to your point. Those were the two headlines. And to me, that it's like exactly, they're totally contrary. How does a working person think that Donald Trump, who's selling his administration to the highest bidder, is actually going to work for the middle class? That makes no sense. That article goes on to say this. Wealthy donors to the president-elect's campaign anticipate a, quote, more business-friendly, which is pretty generous, atmosphere, including the firing of Biden-era regulators. But here's the next line. President-elect's Donald Trump's to-do list from Mark Anderson, the venture capital billionaire from California, is long but specific. Limit the reach of federal regulations on AI, make room for cryptocurrencies, buy more military drones, and don't raise taxes on billionaires, give them a tax cut. Why is Donald Trump taking orders from billionaires when it's the middle class that put him into office? We discuss next. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Come on.
How you doing, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Topic of the hour, before we get to the Office of Lawyer Regulations complaint against former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman at 3 o'clock is, has the Democratic Party lost the working class voter? Phone and text lines are open, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you are there, stay there. Here's the context that I want to give. Some of the facts, the statistics, because my argument has been that you stack up Democratic policies put into law or practice via regulation or via legislation. Over the last 50 years, Democrats overwhelmingly have benefited the middle class while Republicans dip their hand into your pocketbook and the futures of your children to feed the burgeoning, now arrived oligarchy, the billionaire boys club that now exists in this country. Them's the facts. Consider these as well. Since 1981, as much as $50 trillion, trillion with a T, has moved from the bottom 90% of income earners, that's all of us listening right now, to the top 1%. $50 trillion from us to the top 1% since 1981. The share of the nation's wealth held by the richest 0.01% over that same period of time has tripled. Now, here's the social contract. I've cited these statistics before. The social contract is we work harder. We're more productive. GDP is growing. The economy is expanding. We should expect worker wages to go up in a roughly similar proportion. And yet, this is true. From 1948 to 1973, worker productivity rose 97%. Hourly wages increased 92% over that same period. But since 1973 to 2014, And again, it's worse if you add the rest of it going into 2024. Worker productivity has gone up at least 91%. But hourly wages have only increased 9.2%. That is a breaking of the social contract. When the rich get richer, we should be getting richer too. But the way our tax system and the way our labor laws work, that's not happening. Do we agree that if you're willing to work 40 or 50 hours of hard work in a week, that you should be able to live with some modicum of dignity? I sure do. I thought that was the promise of a democratic capitalistic society. But we find that that is simply less true for a greater number of people. Over 40% of our nation makes less than it costs for a single person living with no kids. That's less than $40,000 a year. This ain't working. By the way, after World War II, the top marginal income tax rate was 91%. Today, it's 37%. Why? Why is this okay? By the way, here's another one. The 1965 ratio comparing CEO to worker pay was 20. In other words, a CEO on average in 1965 made 20 times the average worker pay. You know what it is today? 344. I say no more. I'm sick of the oligarchs. I think Democrats have been working for the middle class. We got to figure out how to talk about it and continue to talk about it until we fix this problem. Keith, my friend, you have been so patient. You brought up the excellent point about the declining power of unions, which has been intentional, structured, and accomplished by Republicans, starting with Reagan. I shared some statistics that shows that the top 10% of income earners make more now than they ever had. And over that same period of time, we've seen the decline in union membership to under 10%. Do you think they're correlated? I sure do, Keith.
It's a no-brainer. And that, honestly, Maggie, I point back, and I'm old enough to have voted against Ronald Reagan. And in my opinion, he was the beginning. And I'm going to sound a little dramatic here, but in my opinion, he was the beginning of the death of the middle class and the American dream. And when he broke the union, which one of them he broke was the air traffic controllers, that sent a signal to everybody else that, you know what, they don't care about us. And they didn't. A lot of us knew that already. I'll give you another example. When I moved to Northern North Carolina, a little town called High Point, there's a little town next door called Thomasville. And at the time that I moved there, there were 14 plants that worked for that Thomasville owned making furniture. When I moved there in 2005, they closed the last two, and they took those employees in those facilities and they sent them to China, had them teach the Chinese how to run the machines, brought them back to the States and said, thank you for your service. Have a good life and you're done.
Yeah.
There are no more manufacturing facilities for furniture in the Carolinas. There were hundreds of thousands of people working in that industry and it's gone.
Yeah, Keith, you're right on it. And you can look at industry after industry after industry, and that is true. Here's part of the tension as well. I think unions, when they should have been looking within to ensure that every single one of their workers, from the most junior worker, understood and felt the benefit that the union provided, I think unions squandered decades as Reagan marched forward with the dismantling of labor laws that was continued by George H.W. Bush and other Republican administrations. They stood by and were quibbling about who was going to be president and how much benefits their most senior employees were going to get at a time when they should have been looking within to shore up laws that protected organized laborers and truly ensure that the youngest, the most junior members of their unions were also feeling those union benefits. What do you think, Keith? I think there's some tension there too.
100%. And, you know, the Republican Party has masterfully used social issues to divide this country for 50 years. And they used them to separate us and to divide the unions. And a lot of people who were part of the union, they're hunters, they're fisher people, they're outdoors activists and so forth. And the Republican Party has made it so they do not trust Democrats anymore. And Democrats have hurt themselves too with this. They've been complicit. But the biggest part of it was, if you don't trust them to, and a good example for Wisconsin is the wolves in northern Wisconsin. If you go on Facebook and you look up as a couple different wolf, they call them community or citizen-led wolf count sheets and so forth. And some of the commentary in there is, these are people who literally, Maggie, are losing their livelihoods in large part because the Republican Party does not care about them.
Yep. And yet they will disparage the very policies that have benefited them because Democrats achieved them. I hear you, Keith. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling back. Phil from Minneapolis, your turn. What do you have to say, sir?
Well, I have to say I out-age pretty much everybody I've heard on your show in the last little bit of time. I tried to move to California in the 60s when I was a very young person, and I witnessed Ronald Reagan publicly stating, why should we have this California State University system when all they do is demonstrate all the time? He started dismantling the education system when he was governor of California. Yep. And also, he started out when he was at his height as a B actor. He was the president of I can't remember the initials.
The Screen Actors Guild. Reagan was a union organizer.
He was a union guy when he was a very young man.
And then he married a very wealthy woman and her dad flipped into the Republican Party. It's amazing what happens when you get your hands on some money and power. Wonder about that. And Phil, thank you so much for listening and calling, sir. I have a saying, and that is that experience without wisdom is wasted time. So I appreciate the wisdom that you just brought to the Maggie Dawn Show. Tom from Madison, what do you have to say, sir?
No, hi, Maggie. What was just talking about, who are the conservatives and who are the liberals, I think, is the heart of the entire subject. When you think about the liberals, Democratic Party, They're tied to so many liberal things. I mean, conservatives, of course, just take advantage of that. You know, we're pro-gay, we're pro-trans, we're pro-women, we're pro all the stuff that we're pro-for, all the conservatives are against.
Tom, I think you put your finger on something really important. Here's what I don't see Democrats saying. Hey, I'm for equal pay for equal work. I'm for protecting the dignity and equal treatment under the law of the LGBTQIA community. I believe we need to acknowledge and deal with the racial history of our country. And I think you, the white working man, also needs to have dignity. And we need to be doing a better job to make sure you and your family are okay, not vilifying the white man. That is not the answer here. We need to be able to have these multi-layered, complicated discussions. And we need to talk to white men and say, we're here for you too. Here's what we're trying to do. That's take money out of politics, reduce corruption, increase transparency, make sure your vote is counted, that you have confidence in our elections, and make sure you do better than your parents did and your kids do better than you. That is our Democratic, capital D, promise to you, the white working man. Thanks so much, Tom. I really appreciate it. Let me see if I can get some of the many, many very smart texts that are coming in. Lama from Madison says he does think Democrats have lost the vote of the working poor. Steve from Milwaukee says Trump is best friends with the slimiest of the elite. I would say that's true. We're talking about Elon Musk, Peter Thiel, David Sachs, as well as the likes of Howard Lutnick. He is bartering away his administration to the highest bidders. Another billionaire tax cut is going to bury the middle class. It will lead to reduction in Social Security benefits, the scaling back of Medicare and Medicaid, less care for our veterans, harder to achieve access care. The ACA may go away entirely. These are the things that are at issue. Jim from Appleton, in a word, yes, the Democratic Party has lost the working class voters. As a working class person, they went elitist back around Michael Dukakis. I still vote for Dems, but the media bubble that the right has created, vilifying unions, creating false groups of people like Black folks and immigrants, and the worst of it all, saying that you too can be a gazillionaire. You can't. That ain't the way it works. This brings up Carrie from Wauwatosa. She says this, with all due respect, Maggie, working class is anybody who punches a clock, including for breaks, and lives paycheck to paycheck. Working professionals like you and I with advanced degrees are not. Dems like to clump us all together, and that's a mistake. Our needs are drastically different. Need to figure that out. I agree and I disagree, because what I think Jim from Appleton is saying and what you are saying, Carrie, are related. And here's what I have heard: a lot of working professionals say that they support Donald Trump. I think it's because they think they're going to become 100 millionaires. They think they're going to be the next Peter Thiel, Donald Trump, Elon Musk, Eric Hovde, or Tim Michaels. When the reality is, if you get a paycheck, whether you're an hourly worker or a salary worker, you pay income taxes like that. Our money's trickling up too. But I take your point, Carrie, that we need to focus on the working person who works on an hourly basis and those that live paycheck to paycheck first. Those people need to be our number one priority as Democrats and those that care about the middle class, whatever party you may affiliate with. We're going to continue to take your texts and calls. Callers, keep it coming in. We'll go back to the phone lines and the text lines when we return. Have the Dems lost the working class vote? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Don't forget, you can watch online at the Civic Media channel on YouTube. Download that Civic Media app as the great conversation continues next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're finishing up our conversation about whether or not the Democratic Party has lost the working class voter, especially the white working class voter. My argument is that this election cycle, one, was not a landslide, that we have an extremely divided country. Yes, Democrats have failed in messaging to refocus on working people, regardless of race, class, gender, sexual identity, et cetera, et cetera. It seems to me to be an absurdist notion that the people at which our anger should be directed are the people that have never held the real reins of power and economic power in this country, namely women, people of color, immigrants, the LGBTQIA community. Those people aren't the ones screwing the white working person out of their economic health, out of their family's economic future. It's obviously the billionaire class and the 100 millionaire class and the wealthiest corporations, the biggest ones who make the most money year after year after year. And yet Donald Trump wants to give them trillions in tax cuts again. This will make things worse, not better. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. An interesting text from the 414 on the WAUK text line. Maybe start using the term progressives instead of Democrats, Maggie. You're the ones that are destroying the party. I'm not sure who the U is there. Here's what I think. The labels have not been helpful. Now, I'm talking about this in terms of parties today because that was effectively the headline from the New York Times. And so I think we can engage with that. But I think Donald Trump has so blown any concept of conservatism or Republicanism completely out of the water that the party labels don't really fit anymore. And who likes the two-party system? How's that been working for all of us? It's pretty crappy. Was anybody really happy with our choices? Come on, even conservatives didn't like having to vote for Donald Trump, many of them. So let's take a moment. I want to get in some of your texts. Michaela from West Bend says this: I don't think the Democratic policies have lost the working class. I think the working class has less time and desire to actually look at which party is actually going to help them out because they're too busy working. Michaela, I couldn't agree with you more. That is one of the great pay attention over here to the shiny keys things that the Republicans have done. People are working so much, they really don't have the time or appetite to consume information and get underneath these headlines. So everything's been reduced to sound bites. And let's be honest, everybody, Republicans are better at sound bites. Anne from Chippewa Falls says this: the billionaire class has outsmarted the Trump voters who think that Donald Trump cares about them. It's the biggest lie of the century, and they've gotten away with it. Trump fans blame the Democrats who actually have their back. I'm going to have to sit back now and watch how Trump screws up their lives. A texter from WMDX in the 608: facts apparently don't matter. People seem to be more receptive to hate and division. I believe this emanates from Putin's playbook. We haven't really talked about the role of misinformation. There's no question that there's a lot of that going on. And I think that that's a real problem. And it's a real problem. I don't care from which foreign adversary the misinformation and bots and trolling is benefiting. We need to be demanding of our national security apparatus that they do something about that. And I don't know about you, but I don't think Tulsi Gabbard, who rolls out Putin talking points like it's her job, is really the right person to head up and lead all 18 of our national security agencies. Just don't think so. I don't think that's going to help us at all. Kurt from Madison points out that Robert Reich, who was the Secretary of Labor under President Obama or President Clinton, told Bill Clinton that NAFTA was a bad idea. Also, NAFTA, to be clear, was a Republican piece of legislation. The entrance into that free trade arrangement was Republican. Bill Clinton just happened to sign it. That was the Newt Gingrich Congress. I couldn't agree with Robert Reich more. He's an incredibly smart economist. NAFTA was Republican. And then lastly, Andy from Wausau texting in this: Maggie, tell me how the Biden administration helped you. Okay, let me start. First of all, the American Recovery Plan Act has helped rebuild critical Milwaukee infrastructure, including some of the road projects that are reducing reckless driving and helping to save lives in the city of Milwaukee. Secondly, again, the American Rescue Plan Act also provided direct funding to all local governments to help shore up local governmental budgets when sales tax receipts, income tax receipts were all down. This allowed county government to continue to provide the essential services that benefited the most vulnerable citizens in Milwaukee County. Third, the Biden administration took COVID seriously, deployed free vaccines as quickly as possible, helped provide accurate public education, helped ensure that outreach into underserved communities was a number one priority. The Biden administration saved lives, and I bet the lives of people around me that I deeply care about. Co-workers, family, and friends. I could go on, but you get the drift. We're up on time for this hour. I got to take a break, a breath. Then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about Justice Michael Gableman. He has been charged by the Office of Lawyer Regulation right here in the state of Wisconsin for the lies and the breaches of attorney ethics that he committed while he was engaging in the Robin Voss pseudo investigation, blowing through $1 million+ of taxpayer dollars after the 2020 election. You're not going to want to miss this discussion. It's up next after news, weather, and sports right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.